Yo, what's up? This is McBreezy with another podcast from Classrooms in Compton, where we drop strategies, methods, and pedagogy that work in classrooms like mine, Classrooms in Compton. So a question that's come up like recently happens to be like, why am I publishing this podcast? It's not even like I have a big audience, and that's okay with me. Like, what do I even think I'm going to accomplish here? Like, maybe it's just another start of a project that may go unfinished. I mean, it is months in between me posting episodes. Well, maybe I'm not even aware of my desired outcome. I'm a teacher. I'm an educator, a facilitator, a specialist. Therefore, I'm overworked and underpaid. In fact, if inflation continues the way it has been, I will no longer be able to afford to live in the neighborhood adjacent to where I teach. Hold on, let me go back one more time, because I'm not the only one. If inflation continues the way it has been, I, a teacher, educator, facilitator, specialist, will no longer be able to afford to live in the neighborhood adjacent to where I teach, a socio-disadvantaged Title I school in which 97% of our student body qualify for free and reduced lunch. It makes me wonder where are the teachers going to live? I'm only one person. I mean, if you don't ask my other personalities, right? With one stop, which may play a part in affordability. I am also a recovering single mother. Y'all hear me, you hear me. I have a large student loan debt, although I found out we're not about to make this. So it's not too large, because I have friends with way larger debts. So as I put all my pieces together, I realize my finances are a bit more messy than most. But like so many people in my profession, we didn't join this workforce for exorbitant treasures. I have not had a colleague that was either independently wealthy or held the belief that they could become independently wealthy in this line of work. I mean, there are those people who monetize business, who monetize education. Teachers pay teachers, people who sell their speeches, people who do all these outside things out of their school, end up leaving their school. I've not met somebody who stayed in a school and been able to do that. Now, I know I didn't follow a leprechaun to the end of the rainbow. I have not stumbled upon an abandoned satchel filled with cash. None of my customers have ever gifted me a valued product thing over $20. I don't collect tips. There's no collection that can be shared at the end of our shifts. I don't hi-ho behind several little men in funny hats to mine gems out of the side of a mountain, whilst a strange sleepy woman calls upon woodland creatures to clean my house, even though I pray for her daily to stop by. I also pray for the elf from the cobbler's house. I have left countless half-done materials all over my apartment that I keep wishing will be completed in the night. I mean, maybe I should have just been a shoe cobbler myself. Even though I scour LinkedIn, EdJoin, and every newspaper I can find, I have yet to find where to apply for the position of the eighth dwarf. You can call me Frumpy. So am I expecting a fairy tale? Is that why I'm doing this? Never. Not for a moment. Happily ever after never seemed to apply to me, which is fine. Because, like, as a teacher, I'm truly am living my dream. The thing is that dreams only happen in a deep sleep, when you're unconscious, when you're not aware of the dream or the lack of reality within the dream. And since they can't be controlled, dreams are dangerous. I mean, they really can leave you feeling empty, disappointed in yourself for not being the dream. They can lead you to believe that you have superpowers, that you are rich, that you are truly not you. Those are, if the REM has allowed the dreams to come from Disney, while Disney may seem to be the happiest place on earth for some, for others it's the flip side of happiest. Dreams can become nightmares, night terrors, sleep paralysis. They can turn on you. They can use the darkest corner of your neurons to flip your fears on you. dreams are more invasive than a best friend that you confide everything to. They know more than you are able to scribble on your diary pages. So to be completely honest, the lack of control that I wield over my dreams shatters them. I no longer want to have dreams. I don't want to dream at all because for all the good parts, a smidge of the bad parts is not worth it. Confusing, because as I live out my dreams, I gaze into the eyes of my 7-year-old self that's been captured for time and all eternity by Life Touch, or Johnson's, as I consider my childhood hero, Laura Ingalls Wilder. Now I realize that just as I experience my dreams in sleep that could turn nightmare, my waking dreams, follow me, could also produce waking nightmares. Nightmares that steal my innocence, that push me to face monsters under my bed or in my closet. Dreams are fleeting, often forgotten before I hit the ground in the morning. So the smile fading from dreamy sleep expressions, nightmares on the other hand linger. Details of scary faces remain in your brain. Sounds of whorish laughter, beady bloodshot eyes, staining the back of your eyelids, tattooing these images on your brain. That brain is supposed to be on our side, right? Like, wouldn't it serve us better to flip that script? Like, hold on to the fluffy white clouds, the rainbows, the Skittles that fall from heaven directly into your mouth? To hold on to the dreams, wouldn't that serve us better? Nightmares should erase like an Etch-a-Sketch. A slight shake of the head and your mind clears of the spine-chilling remnants of night's torments. And I say this because here I am living my dream, doing the job I've practiced, played at, scripted all of my life. Many days are dreams. They sparkle. They glitter and gleam. They leave my cheeks sore from smiling. Many days I feel hope and I feel motivated to pass that feeling to students. I see the future for possibilities and continue the marathon, grabbing an orange wedge and a squirt of water as I trudge on, as I take the next step. Legs feeling weak, dogs barking, my feet. I'm amazed at how much I still have to learn in this marathon. It just so happens that yesterday I was finishing an online finance course through Next Gen Personal Finance, who I will gush over in the future. And I learned about hedonic adaptation. Let me share that. Hedonic adaptation is the way in which humans adapt to change, both positively and negatively, in a quick manner. For example, moving or a job change. Even though initially we may be filled with nervousness, we quickly adapt to the change, especially if it turns out to be a positive one, like living in a better neighborhood or the job change is a promotion. We quickly embrace our better living situation or our elevated job status so quickly, in fact, we soon forget the feeling of elation, then we forget the change first elicited and soon began to feel that our better life, man, it's not that much better. We continuously compare ourselves to others, usually someone who's doing a bit better than ourselves, and we are thrown into the cycle of trying again to climb the ladder to keep up with the Joneses. It was my dream to be a teacher, and here I am living my dream. I hate that it is sometimes a nightmare. And it's never a nightmare because of the kids. So I'll keep on fighting for another day. I have at least another mile of this marathon left in me. Let's see where it takes us. But don't be afraid to feel the bad feelings with the good feelings. Don't feel like as a teacher you always have to be happy, that you can't know some of the sad. Know the sad, because the sad makes the happy that much sweeter. This is Miss McBride from Classrooms in Compton. See you guys in the next episode.